We are in the middle of a series of sermons entitled, How Do You Know You Are a Christian? And it comes directly from the book of 1 John, where that seems to be the theme of this entire letter. You know, you are a Christian if, and you are a Christian when, and here's what a Christian does, and here's how a Christian thinks. And we're looking at that, and this Sunday we're looking at you don't love the world. I was reading how other preachers introduced this text this past week. One of them said, did you know there's a certain kind of love that God hates? There is. There's a kind of love that God hates. Even though God is love, there is a love that God hates because of His holiness. And that's the kind of love that we're going to be talking about this morning. Even though God at His very nature and at His very essence is love, God at His very nature and essence is also holy. And because of that, there is a particular kind of love that the Word of God tells us that He hates, that He cannot stand. It cannot exist in His presence. And it is love for the world. So we're going to explore what that means and what we need to do if we're Christians. If you would, please stand for the reading of the Word of God from 1 John chapter 2, verses 15 through 17. Do not love the world and all that it offers you. For when you love the world, you show that you do not have the love of the Father in you. For the world offers only the lust for physical pleasure, the lust for everything we see, and pride in our possessions. These are not from the Father. They are from this evil world. And this world is fading away, along with everything it craves. But if you do the will of God, you will live forever. Thank you. Be seated. Last week, we explored the outcomes of our conversion to Christ. We talked about how those outcomes continue to affect our lives today. We found that we experienced then and we continue to experience an actual knowledge of God. That as God's children, we know God. We also found that we experienced and we continue to experience forgiveness of sins. And we also found that we experienced and continue to experience the strength to overcome the evil one himself. John wrote those things to these Christians in order to encourage them, to affirm their faith, to build them up and strengthen them. This week, John moves from affirmations about their security and their standing with God to warnings. Warnings about their behavior, and he says there are some things that you have got to be on your guard against. Some things that you have to be careful. You have to be sure that you don't do these things. And he says it is incompatible for a Christian to love both God and the world. Now let's see how he develops this. First of all, what is the world? He says, do not love the world and all that it offers you. This word is used at least three different ways in your Bible. It's the Greek word cosmos. And the first way it's used is in a number of passages, it's simply referring to the round planet Earth. In John 1:10, whenever John says he was in the world, talking about Christ, he's using that same word to talk about Jesus being on round planet Earth, terra firma. It's also used in the second usage to refer to the inhabitants of the world. John also uses this in John 3:16, for God so loved the world. Same word, different context, different meaning. There it's talking about humankind. It's talking about the people who are in the world. And then there is a third way that this word is used in the Scriptures, and it's talking about the combined activities of life on planet Earth. It's talking about attitudes, the affairs of this world, the accumulated assets, the things and the thinking that really mark life on planet Earth, Solomon would say, under the sun. Life that is lived apart from God. And that's the way John seems to be using that in our text this morning. The context is what's going to dictate what he means. For certain, John is not saying, you know what, you can just have disdain for the planet if you want to. You don't have to love the planet. And he's certainly not saying, don't love the inhabitants of the world, because he's already talked to us about the importance of love before. Here, he's telling us specifically that we need to be careful with our attitudes, with our actions, with our behaviors, with our thinking, when it comes from a worldly perspective. So when he says, do not love the world, that's what he's talking about. Some people have said what he means is really reject worldliness. And that makes a lot of sense to me. Reject worldliness. So that's what the world is. And he says, do not love the world. And then he continues, why not love the world? Why can't we love the world? He says, do not love the world and all that it offers you, for when you love the world, you show that you do not have the love of the Father in you. We've mentioned this before. We've noticed it before in John. This isn't a gray area kind of guy writing this letter. He's a very black and white thinker, and he sees the world in terms of light and darkness, good and evil, righteousness and unrighteousness. And he says plainly here, we do not love the world, because if we love the world, the love of the Father is not in us. What he's saying is, love for the world and love for the Father, they are mutually exclusive. Love for the world and love for the Father, it is impossible to love the world and to have the love of God in us. It cannot happen. If you are committed to worldly attitudes, to worldly ideologies, to a worldly worldview, if you will, if you're willing to accept and live your life based on how the world thinks, based on how the world behaves, valuing what the world values, John says, by your very actions, you are demonstrating and you are proving that you love the world more than you love the Father. And if that is the case, love of the Father is not in you. It's simply not there. These two things cannot coexist in our lives. Brethren, this is heavy. Because Dennis Bylum and I were talking before. What's the sermon about? I told him. He goes, that's tough. Yes, it is. We are in the world. We're up to our eyeballs in it every day. We have to deal with it. We have to experience it. We see it. We carry, if you will, the stench of it with us wherever we go. And it is difficult not to become of it. It's difficult not to be like it. This is hard. So we don't need to adopt those attitudes, those actions, those beliefs, those behaviors. We need to let God inform us and God guide us in how we behave. He says, if we have love for the world, in John's eyes, he says it proves love for the Father isn't in you. For John, it's proof. You can't have it. And he says, really, the way to know for sure that you have the love of the Father in you is by rejecting worldliness. You can't be of the world. You can't be like the world. You can't live or think or act and have God in your heart. We can't. That's why he says, don't love the world. So what is wrong with the world? Why does John say that these things are so diametrically opposed that you cannot have both of them living in you? Why is that? Why are they mutually exclusive? He says, for the world offers only the lust for physical pleasures, the lust for everything we see, and pride in our possessions. These are not from the Father, they are from the world. John says this is worldliness in a nutshell. This is what he means when he says, do not love the world. Here is what he's talking about. Here's what the world has to offer. Lust for physical pleasure. All you've got to do is turn on your television set. And you can see that there are masters of advertising and marketing that focus specifically and exclusively on that. The lust for physical pleasure. They know their audience. They know that's what they're looking for. They know that's what they like. And so they advertise and they appeal and they market in that direction. It'd be crazy of me to try to even to provide examples. All you've got to do is read. Listen to the radio. Watch your television. You can see that. Lust for physical pleasure. Then the lust for everything we see. I thought, man, that is awfully broad. Wanting or coveting or desiring other things that we see. This can be referring to another person or other material goods or ideologies or ways of thinking. This is broad. He says the world is about lusting for physical pleasure and lusting for anything we see. One of our own brothers said the specific things might run the gamut from sexual appetites to other worldly spectacles, to the attraction of material wealth that leads to covetousness and greed. And then he says, third, the world offers pride in our possessions. He says here, one translator rendered this, pride in one's lifestyle. I know you've seen this, haven't you? Keeping up with the Joneses, competing properties, competing toys. Got to have this because your neighbors have got that. I know you've seen this. You may have fallen into the same trap yourself. This is a false estimation of worldly possessions. This is describing people who base their opinion of themselves on what they own and what they have accumulated. Because the world tells you, you want to be successful? Drive this kind of car. You want to show you've arrived? Live in this neighborhood. You want to show that you've got it? Have this kind of spouse. This is what success is. I remember seeing in the 80s a time that had been called the decade of greed. I remember seeing a bumper sticker on a BMW that read, "He who dies with the most toys wins." That's the idea. The lust for physical pleasure, the lust for everything that the eyes see, and pride in our possession or pride in one's lifestyle. That's what the world offers. That's what's wrong with it. These are not from the Father. they are from this evil world. When those things are in our life, when those things are guiding our life, when they're focusing our life, when they're the reason we get up in the morning and we go to our job, we're living for the wrong reasons, for the wrong priorities. We're living for the world and the motivation it's giving us, not the motivation that comes from God. So what is the destiny of the world? He says, and this world is fading away along with everything it craves. What does John mean by this? Worldly attitudes, like material possessions, are transient. They're not going to last. We have been taught well and we know well that things are going to pass away. New homes are going to need repair. New cars are going to break down. Things are going to wear out. John goes beyond that. And he says, you know what? Let me tell you something else that's going to pass away. Worldly attitudes. They're going to pass away. Every Christian needs to renounce the world with all of its attitudes simply and only because it is impermanent. The world is not what is going to exist forever. It is temporary. One writer said, that which we cannot see is eternal. That which is beyond this world is what will last forever. And fading away or passing away, that's one word. And it's in the present tense. It means it is continually passing away. There is never a time when this world, with its worldly attitudes and the worldly things, there's never a time when it's not passing away. As we live and as we breathe, as we walk this earth, and as we have to deal with the world, it's passing away. It's moving toward its destiny. It's moving toward its destruction. There will be a time when the world and the attitudes of the world cease to exist. There will be a time when it will all come to an end. Because of the impermanent nature of the world and the attitudes of the world, it's unimportant. It shouldn't be what guides us. Its destiny is destruction. So John says, here's what you do. What must we do in the world? But if you do the will of God, you will live forever. Since we're not supposed to love the world, since we know what is wrong with the world, since we know that the world is passing away, how are we supposed to live while in the world? What are we supposed to do? And he says it very simply, the world is transitory. So do God's will. Make what is important to God important to you. Make what matters to God matter to you. Spend your time and your energy focusing on what God would have you do. We would say fulfilling your purpose that God has for you. He has one for every one of you. Find His will. If you do the will of God, you will live forever. Love of the world is temporary because the world is temporary. love of the Father is eternal. Because the Father is eternal. How do you know you're a Christian? You don't love the world, and you do the will of the Father. Do you love the world? Or is the love of God the motivating factor in your life? Is fulfilling the will of the Father what drives you? You can't have the love of the world and the love of the Father living in you at the same time. So this morning, if you feel conflicted, if you feel like you need the prayers of your brothers and sisters, if you need strength in your battle with the world, we're a family. We're here to pray for you. And perhaps you're not a child of God yet. Perhaps you haven't been immersed in water for the forgiveness of your sins. Did you know every sin you've ever committed you could have washed away today? And you could leave here a follower of Christ? If you have any need, come now as we stand and sing.